Welcome to Torah Limecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Malachim Aleph Perek Chaf Bet, the last perek in Malachim Aleph. 3 years have passed since Ahaz's punishment for Navot's murder, during which we're told that there have been no wars between Malchut Yisrael and Aram. In the third year, Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, the son of Asa, who was the last king of Malchut Yehuda that we learned about, met with Ahav and agreed to join him in war against Ben-Hadad Melech Aram to capture Ramot Gilad. We haven't yet been officially introduced to Yehoshaphat and Sefer Melachim, other than the very succinct pasuk at the very end of the description of Ahav's reign back in Perek Tetvav Pasuk Chavdalid, which told us that Asa's son Yehoshaphat succeeded him as king. Later on in this parak, however, we are given an official introduction to Yehoshaphat and the kind of king that he was. So let's take a moment to learn more about who Yehoshaphat was so that we can better understand the alliance between him and Ahav that this parak begins with. We're told in Psukim Mem Aleph through Mem Hey of this parak that Yehoshaphat was a very good king who followed in the ways of Asa and didn't stray from those ways. La'asot hayashar b'enei Hashem, to do that which was straight in the eyes of Hashem. The only exception to this was that he didn't remove the bamot, and B'nai Yisrael still worshipped a Hashem on them and brought Ketoret on them. Yehoshaphat's reign is described in much richer detail, though, in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Prakim Yuzayin through Chaf. In that sefer, we're told that Yehoshaphat followed Hashem, and that he specifically did not follow in the ways of Malchut Yisrael, nor did he worship Baal. And as a reward, Hashem gave him menucha from his enemies, meaning that the surrounding nations paid him tribute and didn't fight him. And when they did, Hashem defeated them miraculously. In addition, the reward that he got from Hashem for his following Hashem was wealth and honor. We're told that Yehoshaphat appointed Levim to teach Torah. He appointed Shoftim, judges, to judge morally, which is perhaps the basis for his name, Yehoshaphat, which means that Hashem judges. We're told that he built storage cities, he built boats. In fact, the description of Yehoshaphat's reign sounds a lot like the time period of Shlomo HaMelech. He had regional power, exceptional wealth, and sought to bring justice to the people. He was one of the greatest and most impressive kings in Malchut Yehuda's history. This begs, therefore, a very important question. If Yehoshaphat was such a righteous king, why was he allied with Ahav, who's known as the worst king of all time? It seems that Yehoshaphat valued Achdut, unity within the nation, after a long period of divisiveness between Malchut Yehuda and Malchut Yisrael, even if it meant unifying with an evil king. In fact, Yehoshaphat told Ahav in Pasuk Dalet, in response to Ahav's request for a military alliance, Kamoni kamocha, ka'ami ka'amecha, kisusai kisusecha. He pledged to Ahav, I will do as you will do, my nation will do as your nation will do, and my horses will do as your horses will do. This was a very strong declaration of unity with Ahav, one that even echoes Yehoshaphat's own ancestress Ruth's declaration of unity with her mother-in-law Naomi when she decided to journey with her to Eretz Yisrael from Moab in Rut Perak Aleph Pasuk Tet Zayin. Rut's words were, Amech Ami ve'elokayich Elokai kasher tamuti amut. Your nation is my nation, and your God is my God, and as you will die, I will die. Perhaps Yehoshaphat felt that this strong bond of Achdut was worthwhile, even with an evil king such as Ahav, since he would be able to positively influence Ahav and convince him to worship Hashem correctly, and perhaps even teach him. As we'll see in this parak, he was able to convince Ahav to bring in a Navi Emet instead of consulting with his Nevi'ei Sheker, up to a point. However, Yehoshaphat should have also considered that there was an equal risk the other way, that perhaps Ahav would negatively influence him and his kingdom. In fact, as we'll learn in Malachim Bet Perak Chet, Yehoshaphat had married his son Yehoram off to Ahav's daughter Atalia in order to cement the ties between them. And this caused Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat to follow not in the ways of his righteous father Yehoshaphat, but in the ways of Malchei Yisrael, in the ways of his wife's parents, because his wife Atalia had such a strong negative influence upon him, very much like her mother or perhaps stepmother Izebel, and had upon Ahav himself. This was probably why Hashem was not very happy with Yehoshaphat's alliance with Beit Ahav, and he therefore rebuked him twice for it through his Nevi'im, as we find in Divrei Hayamim Perek Bet. The first time in Divrei Hayamim Bet, not Perek Bet, I apologize, in Divrei Hayamim Bet. The first time in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perak Yotet Psukim Aleph through Bet, a Navi named Yehu ben Hanani rebuked Yehoshaphat after he returned from the war that he engaged in with Ahav against Aram in our Perak, which, as we'll see, they lost and which cost Ahav his life. Yehu ben Hanani told Yehoshaphat that his alliance with Ahav has caused Hashem great anger. In Divar Hayamim Bet Perachaf Pasuk Lamed Zayin, a Navi named Eliezer ben Dodavahu told Yehoshaphat that his boats in Etzion Gavar broke and wouldn't sail to Tarshish as planned, because he had forged an alliance with Achaziahu ben Ahav. In fact, according to the Avot de Rabbi Natan, Tet Dalet, it was from these mistakes of Yehoshaphat and from Hashem's rebukes thereof that Nitai Ha'arbeli learned, Harchik Mishachin Ra Ve'al Titzchaber L'Rasha. Distance yourself from an evil neighbor and don't align yourself with an evil person. Now that we have a greater understanding of the kind of king Yehoshaphat was and what his motivations were and potentially where his mistakes lay, let's learn what happened with this alliance of his and Ahav's. The first thing Yehoshaphat told Ahav after agreeing to their alliance was that Ahav should consult with Hashem before they headed out to war to make sure it was a good idea. Ahav responded by gathering 400 Nevi'im and asking them if he should go to war to capture Ramoth Gilead or not. The 400 Nevi'im then responded to Ahav in Pasuk Vav with the words, "Ale v'yitein Hashem biyad hamelech," go up and Hashem will give the city in the hands of the king. Upon hearing this, though, Yehoshaphat asked in Pasuk Zayin, Ha'in po Navi la Hashem? Is there not a true Navi of Hashem that we can ask? How did Yehoshaphat know that Ahav's 400 Nevi'im were all Nevi'i Sheker? How did he know to ask for a Navi of Hashem? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Tet Amud Aleph tells us that Yehoshaphat said the following, I learned from my grandfather that many Nevi'im may be given the same vision, but none of them tell it over in the same exact words. In other words, the fact that all 400 of Ahav's Nevi'im responded to him with the same exact words, and that they told Ahav at that exactly what he wanted to hear, made Yehoshaphat realize that they weren't true Nevi'ei Hashem, but were rather Nevi'ei Sheker. Because true Nevi'ei Hashem are not given the exact words to say, but rather they're given an image, and each Navi has to interpret that image in his own words to tell the people what the image means. And therefore, true Nevi'ei Emet will always, even if they see the same vision, will always say it differently because they're choosing their own words to do so. The fact that all 400 of these Nevi'im said the same exact words was a very clear sign to Yehoshaphat, based on the Mesorah he had received from his father and his grandfather, that these, in fact, must have been Nevi'ei Sheker. Ahav responded to Yehoshaphat's request, admitting that there was a Navi Emet named Michayahu ben Rimla, but that he hated Michayahu because Michayahu always prophesied negatively about him. Yehoshaphat told Ahav not to speak in that way, and Ahav dutifully sent for Michayahu. Ahav's messenger told Michayahu when he sent for him that he should speak well of what the king would ask him, just like the Nevi'ei Sheker had done, as this was apparently the royal protocol communicated to all Nevi'im serving Ahav, that they should say what makes the king happy. To which Michayahu immediately responded that he would say only what Hashem told him to say. However, when he was in front of Ahav, Michayahu responded to Ahav's question of whether he should go to war by mimicking the Nevi'ei Sheker, quoting them exactly, saying to Ahav, "Alei v'hatzlayach v'natan Hashem biyad hamelach," arise and you'll succeed and Hashem will give the city in your hands. Ahav therefore knew that he was lying, because he said the same exact thing as all 400 Nevi'ei Sheker, and asked Michayahu to tell him the truth in the name of Hashem, which already demonstrates that perhaps Ahav knew that these Nevi'im were Nevi'ei Sheker in the first place. Michayahu then told Ahav that he had a vision that all B'nai Yisrael were scattered upon the mountains like sheep without a shepherd, because they didn't have, or they wouldn't have, a leader. And therefore, Ahav and Yehoshaphat really should return home. Ahav then turned to Yehoshaphat and said, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies good upon me, but only evil?" Michayahu then told Ahav that Hashem had sent his Nevi'ei Sheker to him to fool him into going to war so that he would be killed. Ahav responded by jailing Michayahu, and he and Yehoshaphat went to war as planned. But if Michayahu had just told them not to, and that Ahav's life was at risk, why did Ahav and Yehoshaphat decide to go anyway? Apparently, Ahav believed, or at least wanted to believe, that Michayahu was a Navi Sheker who merely prophesied negatively against him because he didn't like him. So Achav chose to ignore Michayahu's advice, claiming that he was a Navi Sheker who he didn't have to listen to. But what about Yehoshaphat, who was a righteous king, who clearly knew that Michayahu was a Navi Emet? The Alshech notes that in Pasuk Chavtet, when describing Achav and Yehoshaphat's going to war, the Pasuk does not say Vaya'alu, that they both went up, but rather Vaya'al Melech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat, that the king of Israel went up, and Yehoshaphat apparently joined him afterwards. Right? This singular Lashon of Vaya'al instead of Vaya'alu implies that Achav is really the one who led the charge, and Yehoshaphat only followed behind him because Achav had convinced him that he had nothing to be afraid of, since Michayahu did not prophesy negatively about his getting killed, only about Achav's getting killed. We see the same thing, by the way, with Bnei Noach, when we're told that Cham saw his father undressed in the tent and went out to tell his brothers Shem and Yafet. We're then told that Shem and Yafet went in to cover Noach with a dress, but we're told that they went in singular. And it seems that Shem is the one who really, you know, led the charge, so to speak, and Yafet kind of followed along. The Abravanel adds that since Michayahu didn't command Yehoshaphat not to go to war, rather he only commanded Achav not to go, Yehoshaphat felt that he wasn't actually violating Hashem's command by deciding to go. And Yehoshaphat felt that he really had to go because he had already committed to joining Achav already back in Pasuk Dalet. As expected, based on Michayahu's nevuah, despite Achav's disguising himself so that the Aramean soldiers wouldn't recognize him and would therefore not direct their attack on him, Achav was killed anyway by a stray arrow that hit him in a gap within his armor. Exactly as prophesied by Eliyahu back in Perek Chaf, Achav's blood seeped out onto his chariot, and after his burial, dogs came and licked the blood off of his chariot. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Bet Amud Bet, tells us that Chazal summarized Achav's reign and personality with the following analysis of his name. His name is Achav, Ach meaning brother, Av meaning father. And Chazal say as follows, Achav was an Ach l'shamayim, a brother to the heavens, Av la'avodah zarah, but a father to avodah zarah. Perhaps what Chazal mean by this is that Achav had a relationship with Hashem, but a relatively weaker one. The way that the relationship one has with one's brother is relatively weaker than the relationship one has with one's father. Achav's much stronger relationship, like that of a father, was with Avodah Zarah. In fact, if we look at Achav's life, on the one hand, Achav was the one who introduced the Baal to the kingdom and caused Bnei Israel to worship Avodah Zarah. He was weak, and he couldn't even stand up to his evil wife, Yezebel. He let a murder take place for a piece of land. He also hired Nevi'ei Sheker to tell him what he wanted to hear. On the other hand, Achav seems to have stopped worshipping the Baal after Har HaKarmel. He valued the Torah enough to engage in a war with Aram over it, and he even listened to the Nevi'im that Hashem had sent him in the course of that war. They were apparently even an important fixture in his courts. He understood, Achav understood, the limitations he had as king and didn't use coercion to get his way around his citizens' rights. He even did tshuva after hearing his punishment. In the end, what we understand from Achav and all these stories is that he was a wavering personality who really could not figure out where he stood. And because of his vacillations, the nation was ruined religiously, and innocent people were murdered on his behalf. That is the end of the story of Achav. The parak then goes on to discuss Yehoshaphat, whom you already discussed earlier, and then goes on to describe Achav's son, Achaziyahu, who succeeded him to the throne. We're told that he ruled over Malchut Yisrael for 2 years, during which time he did evil in the eyes of Hashem and followed in the paths of his father, his mother, and Yerevan ben Nevat. We're told that he worshipped the Baal and he angered Hashem just as his father had. And this is the background necessary for understanding the continuation of Achaziyahu's story in Malachim Bet, Perek Aleph. Now that we've finished our study of Sefer Malachim Aleph, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to learn the Sefer together with me. It's been a real honor and pleasure to partake in this Torat Imecha Nach Yomi program, and I look forward to continuing to learn the stories of Eliyahu and the rest of Sefer Malachim together with you, as well as the rest of Tanakh Yirtzeh Hashem, as a listener and student yet again. Thank you to the OU Women's Initiative for enabling all of us women from all over the world to learn Tanakh together. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.